the Prentice Alton Heating and Air Coach's Corner from Cedar Bucket Restaurant on WGNS, FM 100.5, FM 101.9, AM 1450, and GoPrimeTimeSports.com.
Back at the Cedar Bucket Restaurant, Murfreesboro Post besties number one, meat and three in Rutherford County. Try them for lunch and dinner and Saturday morning breakfast. And good place to be. We appreciate Ricky Turner and the folks inviting us out once again this year for what will be about 30 coaches shows. This is our 20th year of coaches conversation here on Saturday mornings. And Coach Philip Shadowins, you've been here 19, I think.
I think this is your 19 as a head coach. Huh?
Yeah.
I'm getting old.
Well, I guess you're kind of the dean of the football coaches, aren't you?
I don't know, but I don't know. I think, no, maybe I've been here in this county the longest, but I think Ron's older than I am. So, you know, you have to give Ron a lot some credit. I know he has to be older than me.
I'm sure he appreciates that.
But I have been here a long time. It's been it's a lot of changes over the 20 years, hasn't it?
It really has. You know, we were talking with Ron about at the end of the interview I did about all the changes and all that kind of thing with TSSAA and looking at five classes and six. And, you know, I really didn't feel like they were going to go down because of the gates that they would lose in the playoffs and things of that nature. But how it affects Rutherford County, they really never addressed how that affects our teams and the wins and losses. They didn't change anything and didn't take that opportunity. I think that was a missed opportunity.
It was, but not surprising at all. You know, I was asking, you know, did you get involved in that? Did you call people? No, I didn't, because at the end of the day, like, you know, maybe it's me being getting older, and I don't know, maybe not the attitude I should have, but I kind of suspected that we would never go back down to 5A because it would cost the TSSAA substantial money to do that. Less playoff games and those kind of things, and they get half our playoff gates, obviously. So I never suspected that they would do anything that would cost them a penny, so, and they didn't. So pretty much what I thought would happen kind of happened. And it does hurt us from a scheduling standpoint. You know, we got to go to Chattanooga twice. I know Ron's got to – Riverdale's got to go to Memphis. I think it's Brighton's in Memphis or somewhere around Memphis, wherever that's at. I mean,
in Louisville the next week.
Right, I mean, so it's a lot of traveling, but, you know.
The biggest problem I see is the way that the playoffs are determined by wins and losses, overall record, I guess. You know, maybe it would be better if it were just district record. I don't know. But something right there could have been tweaked to help out Rutherford and Williamson County, which I think those are the two districts that are hurt the worst.
I agree. And early on I did fill out a piece of paper. I guess they asked us which way you wanted it. And I did fill out that saying I wanted it the old way, where your four teams from your district get in. And granted, we need more than six in our district. I mean, if we do it that way, but or region, whatever it's called now. I like it. I like it that way, where you know what, you know exactly what you're competing for. You know, the top four teams are going to make it. I'd like to have about eight teams in our district. You know, obviously, it gives you seven games guaranteed. You can go find three more to go with it. I liked it that way. I know last year, you know, Siegel was one of the best teams around. I see Greg walk in, and they end up coming in fifth technically, because it was a tiebreaker system, and they certainly were a playoff team. That makes it tough when you do it with just four teams coming from a district. But at the same time, I think we all know what we're competing for. I would rather do it that way than only have the one or two, whatever it is now, guaranteed. I guess what, first and second are guaranteed.
Yeah.
And then maybe your third place team could be one of the best teams in the states, but they've traveled all over the – I love the state trying to find football games, you know. And so, you know, but it is, you know, that's just the way it is. We know what we're competing for. I mean, you know that every week is important, which you try to stress that to your kids anyway. I mean, even when it was the old way, I mean, you didn't want to just focus on district games. I mean, you want to win every week. And so, you know, you try to get your kids ready to play every week. And with this system right here, you know that every game, whether it's district or non-district, it really makes no difference. Every game has is equal importance.
Well, it is now you know, everybody's rules are the same, 4 years, and here we go, and football season is here. I want to talk a little bit about the Jamboree as well. I don't know what you take away from it as a coach and things, but I know that the fans that I saw last night were extremely happy just to be out. Great night, great atmosphere. You know, I kind of felt like this district and its fans would turn out in full force, and they did last night.
They did. And we left, and we played the first quarter, so the first half. So we left right after that and to get our kids back. We didn't want to sit around. We knew the crowd would just get, you know, keep building and overlapping. Yeah. All the teams would be overlapping at some point. So we got ahead. We went ahead and left. But I think that's great for – I think it's great for kids. It's great to get kids under the lights, and, you know. And I know all of us played a lot of kids last night. I'm sure every school played tons of kids. And sometimes it's not as important for your first group maybe that has experience on Friday night, but it certainly is important to get some of that experience for kids who hadn't played much on a Friday night. So that's great. And then for the fans, I mean, I don't know – just as a football fan myself, you know, whenever I do get home at night and I'm trying to find something about football on TV, you know, whether it's the NFL or college football or whatever. And so you finally get your first taste. You've been waiting for quite some time, you know, really since the NFL, I guess since the Super Bowl, you've been kind of waiting for the, you know, more football. And so to get that little first taste of it last night, I'm sure it was good for the fans. And it's an opportunity to get to see all six schools in our district be able to compete against one another and kind of evaluate talent. And, you know, everybody starts making their picks based on what they see last night.
Yeah, well, I don't know that we saw a lot in terms of offense. You didn't throw out everything, obviously, but I guess one thing that I came away with last night, you still have some question marks on your team, I guess, going into week one and some decisions to make. What are some positions right now that you're looking at offensively and defensively to where there's still competition, I guess?
We have quite a few places, honestly, that there's competition. There was competition at receiver position. There's competition at the quarterback position. And I think we have two. I think we're blessed to have two quarterbacks. And really, we have a third one that's moved in as a sophomore that's got unlimited potential. But he's just gotten to our system and still learning, obviously, a lot. But, you know, we have two quarterbacks that we're going to play. We think both are very capable for us, being Matt Williams and Chase Smotherman. And also Chase is starting on defense for us. So it makes it tough for your quarterback that plays all the time to also be your, you know, one of your starting safeties. So
you have managed that situation before.
We have done that before. Yes, but both those kids have done good things at the quarterback position. We feel very comfortable with both of them. Tailback, we feel like we're relatively deep in, but we had some injuries. You know, we got the young man named Jalen Miller who had moved in from Laverne, a wonderful kid. He got hurt I think the next to last play of the game, maybe. I thought it was awful. I saw it. It was like 5 feet from me, and I thought he'd broke his ankle. You know, so I run over and lay on top of him, keep his leg still, and end up his ankle wasn't hurting. You know, he had strained something in his knee, but it looks like he's going to be okay. I mean, we'll know more, you know, on Monday, but based on what we saw last night late, we think he's going to be fine. If I would have landed like he landed, I'd have broke my ankle and blew up my knee. And, you know, hopefully he didn't either. I know he didn't break his ankle, and it looks like his knee is not in bad shape. Maybe some little strain of an outside ligament, but I think we're going to be okay there. But the tailback position is relatively deep, we thought, going in, because we got D. Mathers, who we held at last night. He had kind of dinged the shoulder a little bit a week and a half ago, and we just hadn't let him hit anything. We kind of know what he's about, you know. And then Cole Knotgrass, we did let play some, you know, obviously last night, especially in the first quarter. And then we had Jalen, and then we have another tailback, Charlie Davison, who was also a young kid, who's a sophomore, who had tweaked a knee like early in camp and has been out a couple weeks. So we have four tailbacks, but right now we're down to two. Both those kids are pretty doggone talented. And then we always have a choice of putting Antonio Allen back there from fullback to tailback if we needed to. So, but that's a competitive position. Receiver, I mean, every position is competitive technically. Honestly, at this point, we think we know who's going to start. But we have multiple positions where multiple kids are going to play, which is good.
Well, I was just going to say that's not a bad situation to be in. I noticed your sidelines were full. I guess everybody had the chance to put on the jersey last night and be out there. You got a lot of kids out, a lot of interest. You've even got some youth football going on out at Blackman today. So kind of creating a community interest. And you came from Smyrna where there was a kind of a community school. And I kind of feel like Blackman's trying to build that kind of same community spirit like is at Eagleville. And that's – a unique thing if you can make that happen, and it's working.
It is. In the youth program, I mean, speaking of the youth program, you know, Dwayne Beasley's the president of the league. He's done a great job, had a lot of help. The Blackman youth program is not for Blackman High School. I mean, and, you know, it says Blackman on it because they're using our field and practicing. You know, Mr. Shelton's done a great job at the middle school allowing teams to practice on his facilities, and Miss Ford's going to allow some of the youth teams to practice at the elementary school too. But, I mean, we have kids. It's not for Blackman High School. You know, for Blackman High School, we have kids that are zoned Smyrna, kids that will be zoned Stewart's Creek, kids that are zoned Riverdale, kids that are zoned – a few kids that are zoned Siegel. Obviously, that's on this side of town, so we don't have a ton of kids driving across town. But we got quite a few. I mean, we have 300 and – some 310 or 20 boys and I think over 100 cheerleaders. I mean, so in the first year to get that much involvement, it's really been a blessing, and it's good for kids. It's not about, and everybody thinks because it's Blackman Youth League, it's about Blackman, you know, football or Blackman High School, and it's not. It's about helping kids, introducing kids to a great sport. We've really had meetings with coaches and talking about, you know, what the expectations are of the league. You know, we limit practice to 3 times a week. Only 2 of those can be in pads, trying to teach them the fundamentals of football and let them have fun with the game. And that's what we want to stress to the kids, because it's a great sport. And we want as many young people to be involved in that, because I really think it teaches some life lessons. And so they've done a great job. We've had tons of volunteers come out. And as a matter of fact, they have the jamboree going on right now. And there were people everywhere when I left the school early this morning. So it's pretty neat to see that many young people getting an opportunity to play.
Well, that's what sport is all about. You know, my son's kind of getting into that now and doing some basketball and things. And that's what I've tried to stress to him. It's to be involved in something, you know, have people rely on you to do your job and to keep grades up, have right. to have grades to play. All of those kind of things go into it. And I think whatever it might be, whether it's a sport or some kind of extracurricular activity, kids really need that type of structure to succeed, because there are so many distractions when you get to middle and high school.
There is. And you need to know at a young age that the world's bigger than you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and we all remember being children where you're kind of selfish and, you know, you feel like the world kind of revolves around you, and then you realize one day it doesn't, you know. But I think team sports help those things. I mean, because it's not about you. It's about the group of people that you're with, your teammates, so to speak, or your family or whatever that may be. So I think sport teaches young people that. And if done properly, if the coaches are, you know, trying to be the examples they need to be, and we all fail at that. I mean, we all fail at being examples sometimes, but that's the thing we're trying to stress, of this. Let's be an example to these young people on, you know, what's going to help make them successful later on in life and through school and all the things they face as they get older. So I hope it's going to be a fun environment. It has been to this point. And I was able to travel around all those practices on Thursday and got to see, I mean, parents everywhere and kids everywhere. And, boy, that's neat to see that many kids involved in the sport of football and how positive it was and how much fun they were having. That's what I think youth football is about. You want to win. I mean, you know, life is competitive. I mean, you sure. keep score, you know, and life's competitive all the way, you know, forever. I mean, so, but that's not the focus. That's not the, you know, it's not a win at all costs thing. It is, let's teach the kids the right things to do. Let's teach them some lessons that are going to help them. And then if you get to win football games or whatever it is that you're participating in, then great. But let's teach them the right way first.
Philip Chadowans is joining us this morning as we talk about Blackman football. Coach, I wanted to look up and down the schedule a little bit.
It's pretty easy.
Yeah, you know, you start off with an easy trip over to Independence. The trip will not be that bad, but pretty good team. The Eagles have year in and year out, you know, been there, playoff team, well coached and such. And one thing that I noticed about your schedule, but it's just about the same thing with everybody else's schedule, those 2 trips to East Tennessee and the Eastern time zone, you got to go to Signal Mountain and to Bradley Central.
Are y'all coming up there for those games?
Well, when we looked, I did consider Signal Mountain, but then I looked at their facilities, and I didn't see many stands or press boxes or much of anything. So
I've
really
never seen any of it, so I don't know.
Who knows what to expect? I'm a little scared of that. I have been to Bradley Central, and we haven't scheduled that far in, but it's not a very easy schedule, and that goes back to what we kind of introduced with. I mean, nobody wants to play Rutherford County.
Correct, but no, it's what this new six classifications did is it cut down on travel. Didn't you know that?
Well, that's really looks
that's,
like it.
That's what we were told. I know.
That's why Matt's going to Olive Branch, Mississippi, and Ron's going to Louisville, and you're going to East Tennessee twice.
Yeah, it cut down on travel. It really was effective in cutting down on travel by going to 6 classifications, wasn't it? And we went ahead and went a third time. We liked the idea of going to Chattanooga so much, we scheduled a scrimmage at Chattanooga Macaulay with Ralph Potter, you know, who left BA.
Yeah.
And we did that just so we could get used to getting on the bus and driving to Chattanooga and, you know, and playing. So we went ahead a couple weeks ago on a Saturday. The first week we were in pads. That Saturday we went to Chattanooga, scrimmaged them on their nice field turf they had up there. And then we get to make 2 more trips up there. And, you know, and fortunate for us, we're blessed at Blackman that we have parental support. We have good gates and we can afford – I mean, we're not loaded with money by any means, and I don't mean to insinuate that because we're not. I mean, but we can get by, and we can afford to go to Chattanooga twice, because that's huge expense. I mean, sure. We have to take three buses, plus the band has to take either two or three buses, plus the cheerleaders all have to get there, and plus the student body will probably take a pep bus because most of the parents won't let them drive that far. I mean, that's a lot of money. I mean, you know, and with the cost of gas these days and diesel and all those things, it's you know, we'll spend a lot of money to go to Chattanooga twice. I mean, you know, it probably costs us a minimum of $2,000, probably $2,500 each time we take the trip, because you obviously have to feed the kids. And then all the buses and the diesel fuel and, you know, the driver's expenses and all those kind of things. But that's part of the six classifications, and that's part of the shortening of travel. And ours got shortened to go to Chattanooga a couple of times, because otherwise we would have gone to Mississippi. We'd have had to go to Mississippi.
Yeah, because I think you were in on that game a couple of years ago, possibly having to do that.
Right. I mean, Olive Branch was a possibility for us. And then we, at the last minute, Signal Mountain called us and said yes. You know,
but Matt needed a game, so that's how he got there.
Hey, Matt, Olive Branch is looking for one. So
you all had to kind of work together to even get a schedule together.
Isn't that something? You know, that's why we have to get more than six teams in our district. I mean, you're talking about playing five non-district games. It's hard to find anybody to schedule. I mean,
well, even when you add Stewart's Creek in a couple of years, that's still only going to be one more spot. I guess the ideal, Ron said, the ideal would be, you know, three non-district games. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
And that, I guess, you feel the same way.
Absolutely. And me and Ron haven't talked about this in a long time, but I think eight teams in a district would be better, because I think we can find three teams. You know, we'll go to Williamson County. We've played Brentwood for years, and you know, we can find three. But I mean, it's a struggle to find five. I mean, it's hard to find three, but it's almost daggone near impossible to find five. So I hope we make a couple changes there. But, you know, whatever they do, we're going to find a schedule. I mean, wherever we have to go, we're going to find 10 football games, hopefully, you know, every year to play. You know, so we just do whatever they tell us we have to do, and we don't, you know, there's no reason to sit around and gripe about it, because it doesn't do any good. So we have a fun schedule. It'll be fun for our kids to go to Chattanooga. I mean, that's a neat deal. That'll be something they remember for a long time. You know, going to Signal Mountain, which I heard had really nice facilities. I don't think their stands are very big. I don't have any idea. I know they spent tons of money, yeah. Private money, yeah. To do that stadium. And I think there's some money up there in that part of Chattanooga is what I've been told. So I heard they've put a lot of money in the facilities. And they'll be really good, of course. So that's not necessarily what you always want in a non-district game, I guess. But and then Bradley Center, I've heard a lot of good things about them with the people I've already talked to in Chattanooga area. So, you know, both those Chattanooga teams will be good. And then obviously in our district, it's a, you know, bloodbath every time you play. And then you add Independence and you add Brentwood, who, you know, Brentwood, I've been told, looks as good as anybody right now. I know they had like 30-some seniors coming back. They thought this was going to be their best year. You know, that's what Ron would tell you before he left and went to go to Cleveland. You know, he thought this was going to be their best year. So, and then we got Pearl Cone, who is exceptionally athletic. You know, I mean, so our non-district is tough. Obviously, in our district, it's a bloodbath. You know, every week. So, it's a fun schedule, and it's one you better strap on your chin strap and get ready to play, because it's going to be tough.
Well, it starts Friday at Independence, and they've got some nice facilities there, and tough place to play and come out with a win. Williamson County and Rutherford County. I think they compete for bragging rights from year after year, and it's, kind of a rivalry between the two counties.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, it's, you know, there was a time where both our counties were exceptionally, exceptionally strong, and then I think Williamson County, they went down for a couple of years as a whole. I mean, Brentwood was a great team last year, made it to the semis, I think, but this, you know, last year Independence got beat in the second round, I think. But I think Williamson County's making a little comeback right now, where they had a couple of down years, so to speak, as a group. And it'll be tough. You know, it'll be tough. And it is fun to compete with Williamson County. I think our kids and their kids are similar. And so it's always fun, and it's not too bad a trip. And they've been good enough to schedule us over the years, and we've been good enough to schedule them, because they have a tough time, I think, finding schedules sometimes also. So it's been a good little deal, and I think even next year they may want to get into our JV freshman Monday night thing, you know, that we're doing now.
Yeah.
And they may want to be a part of that little district, that little JV freshman district, where we can, you know, not just play each other twice a year like we're doing right this year, but maybe be able to play some Williamson County schools in the freshman in JV too. So we work pretty close with our county, and they've been really good about that. So we're looking forward to Friday night. Our kids have worked exceptionally hard, and I know everybody in our district has. I'm sure Independence has also. And football's here, and come on out and support Rutherford County football. It'll be a lot of fun, and in particular, go to Independence next Friday night and support Blackman High School.
Well, that's the kickoff, and then you host Pearl Cone, and then you host Siegel, I think. And
yes.
So your schedule kind of works out a little better with home and away. Some teams are on the road for like first 4 weeks or something like that. So at least your schedule's kind of balanced.
Two out of the first three are at home, and then we only have one more home game until week nine.
Yeah.
You know, so we got week two and three, week nine and ten are at home. And then
I didn't look far enough down. It's not very balanced, is it?
In the middle, we only have the one home game, and that's Smyrna. But that's okay. I mean, at least getting a couple early. You know, we want to get a couple home games relatively early. And then Smyrna will have to be homecoming because it's in the middle of season when it would fit in as homecoming at all. And then you got 9 and 10. So not a bad, you know, home and away. That's fine. I mean, you got to – it's not as much a difference in high school football as it is in college and NFL where the crowd noise is so loud. And,
yeah.
You know, we don't play in those kind of environments or stadiums, you know, that are closed in like that. So we're looking forward to the schedule. It's a fun one, and our kids are excited about getting here next Friday.
Well, let's hear, Coach. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you hopefully after a big win at Independence next Saturday morning.
Thank you. We're certainly going to try.
All right. That's Philip Shadowins joining us here at the Cedar Bucket Restaurant, Prentice Alsop Heating and Air Coach's Corner, as we roll into hour two of our 20th year of Coach's Conversation here on WGNS. It's time to talk about the Siegel Stars. Greg Wyatt will join John Dinkins when we return. Stay with us. With us.